Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. I'm John Breeden, your chief lounge lizard, and your host for this episode of the show. And even though you can't see me, know that I am wearing a really, really scary Halloween costume in anticipation of today's show. Joining me today are Vincent and Billy, all the way from up in the upper Midwest states where you guys are from. And we're going to be talking about scary, scary stuff today. So thanks for joining me today. You guys are both very brave.
Glad to.
So it's interesting. I was talking with Neil a little bit before the show today, and Neil Sijatovic is kind of like one of our primary horror reviewers. He was not able to join us on the show today, but he was talking about how October, you know how in the game industry we have kind of these seasons now. You know, we have like obviously the holiday season when all the new games come out, at least when there's not like a Call of Duty at the same time. And then in the summer there's kind of like, summer's kind of like the doldrums where not a lot happens, but, then in October we kind of have this mini season of like horror games now, and that wasn't always the case. It was kind of neat. It used to be like when October came around, we might get a scary game that would come out, and they'd be like, "Oh wow, it's seasonal. That's pretty cool." But these days, actually, a lot of scary stuff comes out in October. It's almost kind of like a mini season. And that's kind of a recent phenomenon, I guess. Vincent, is that something that you see or anything that you like kind of look forward to, sort of like the October gaming season, or is it just something that kind of creeps up on you that, hey, look at all these scary games that are out now?
I actually kind of just dread October as a whole, because that's when all of the awesome games seem to come out. After like 4 months of nothing, just a pure drought, then just 12 things come out all at once.
Yeah, that is kind of funny. And then you're like, oh, you gotta take your paycheck and allocate. I guess it makes sense to allocate 50% of your income to gaming. You know, it's only like 1 month, right? Yeah, you can do that. So before the show, Vincent, we were talking a little bit about some of the scary stuff that you were playing, and one of the things that you mentioned, I was mentioning that some of the stuff that was coming out, we have The Evil Within, which was Bethesda's new game, which came out, which I know Neil is reviewing that one. Have either of you got a chance to see Evil Within or watch Neil play Evil Within while he's been doing that? Nope. Okay. Well, we'll save that discussion until a little bit later. But we've also had The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, which came out, which was one of Shella's reviews. That one was kind of an adventure game. And then we have Alien Isolation and another game called Pineview Drive that all sort of came out around the same time. Now, I know Alien Isolation was one that you got to play a little bit, Vincent. So what is that one? I mean, that one was kind of one where it's a sci-fi game, but they, from the commercials, they sort of really played up the horror angle. Was it more of a horror game or more of a sci-fi game?
It'd probably be closer to a thriller, honestly, because you play as Ripley's daughter from the movies. I don't know exactly when it takes place, but I guess it's before Aliens, because she's dead in that one. But you run around this space station, and there's a lot of sci-fi elements. Like, they took a lot of the stuff from the 1979 movie. So you have CRT monitors with scan lines for their really, you know, scientific experiments and the environments. And then you have androids running around who choke you out. And they're probably the worst thing in the entire game.
Oh, they're scarier than the aliens, or they're more dangerous than the aliens?
Probably, because there's like 50 of them. You'll be wandering around. You have to sneak around everywhere. So you're constantly in vents and going through these, I don't really know what to call them, sci-fi sphincters in walls. And every time I turned a corner, I was running into one of those freaking androids. It was ridiculous. And every time they notice you, they just chase you around and they grapple you and they punch you in the face repeatedly saying that they're going to help you. But it only really happens for the first probably couple hours. Then you actually get to experience the alien And that guy is entirely, I guess, not scripted. His movements make no sense half the time. He'll drop from the ceiling, wander around in an area, jump back into the ceiling, then drop right the heck back down. Just, he makes absolutely no sense sometimes. And he can kill you while you're using a save point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so with the first time that'll happen to you, you'll be like, oh, so that just happened. And then you won't use a save point when the alien's around for the rest of the game, which basically means you're going to play the game in, like, 5-hour chunks, because he always seems to be around them.
Well, maybe that's his strategy. He's just waiting. He hangs out at the save point. It's a little bit of suspension of disbelief there.
Yeah, he's like, they'll have to come around here eventually. I'll get her.
Is there only one alien? I remember in the original Alien movie, there was only like one or two. It wasn't like Aliens where there was like 1,000 of them. There was only like, oh, was there like one or two, I think, in the original movie or something like that?
Yeah, it was the first.
Yeah, yeah, so okay. But there's androids that are trying to kill you, which I don't remember from the movie. I don't know if there were androids in the movie or not. I remember in Aliens, the second one, I know Ripley was like, she didn't trust the android, so I guess there was an android element in the first one. I just don't remember.
The guy who flew the drop ship was an android, from what I remember. Bishop or something like that?
Yeah, and he had the whole, there was that really cheesy scene where he had his head ripped off and he was still talking, and it, like, you could tell they just kind of like shoved a board around a guy's head to make it look like a ripped off head. It was horrible, but...
They tried.
Yeah, I don't know. So interesting. I guess I don't know. In Isolation, do you have guns and stuff? Like, can you fight back, or is it mostly just sneaking around?
You have guns, but they're only useful on the androids, or if there's another survivor that you have to club down. Guns don't do jack to the android, just or to the alien, just like in the movie. You can make it temporarily retreat by shooting a flamethrower at it. For the most part, you just spend your time hidden under desks, hoping that it will go away.
I don't know. I'm so that's something that we should probably talk about horror games and the whole thing about putting weapons in them and whether or not that kind of makes them less horrifying or not. Billy, I know you've played a lot of the Resident Evil type games, and those kind of run the balance where I mean, obviously you have weapons and stuff in that game, but then you also have a lot of you know, scary monsters and sequences and things like that, taking out the most modern of the Resident Evil games, which are I thought were kind of too gun heavy, but looking kind of like at the classics. I mean, what do you think, Billy? Are you more scared of a game when you don't really have a defense against the aliens or the zombies or the monsters, or is it, or, you know, or do you prefer the ones where you actually can fight back and then they kind of like they basically have to try to overwhelm you with lots and lots of bad guys?
I definitely prefer the older style of Resident Evil games where you couldn't just go in guns blazing and, you know, just wipe out everything. I remember playing Resident Evil 2 and you had Mr. X, who was just this big hulking guy in a trench coat, and you just, you know, you couldn't do anything to him. Mr. X came and it was just like, screw this, I'm gonna run away right friggin' now. And then, you know, you'd run into the next room and he'd burst through a wall. And I don't know, that was always more fun in my opinion. It was just, it was more tension, because then you get into like the later games, like 4, 5, and 6, and you know, you don't really have a lot of fear because, you know, you've got this huge old Magnum and everything. You can just whip it out and shoot him in the head a few times and you win.
Yeah, and each one of the enemies had their sort of vulnerable points, yeah, where you could hit them and take them down pretty easily. And then you even had that vendor who would sell you like better and better weapons.
Yeah.
You know, along. So yeah, I don't know. Compare that to like Silent Hill, where Silent Hill, I thought, had an even better balance because, and I'm talking like Silent Hill 3. You know, I you know, 4 exists. Yes, I know, but. God, it was awful. Speaking of a game that, like, I mean, Silent Hill 4 was probably, for me, it's probably on my top 5 of the most disappointing games. It was one of the games where, I mean, I just loved 3. I mean, 3, I've got the soundtrack to 3. I love playing it. It was so cool. I enjoyed the story. You know, it was atmospheric. It was great. And I was really looking forward to what they were going to do with 4. And then 4 was just horrible. I mean, I couldn't play it I struggled with it for like an hour, and eventually I was just like, this is just bad, you know? So, but 3 I thought was great because you did have weapons, but it was like a pocket knife and stuff like that, you know, and it would break if you used it like more than 3 times. So, you know, you always had an option to fight or flee, but, you know, fighting wasn't necessarily always the right choice. And, you know, that it's just, and plus your character was like this 14-year-old girl, you know, so it was, I don't know. I was always terrified playing 3. It was very scary for me. Do you also get into the Silent Hill series, or is it mostly just Resident Evil for you?
I'm Resident Evil. I leave Silent Hill to Aaliyah. She's a big fan of that stuff.
Okay. Okay. Cool. I like the Silent Hill series. I like the Resident Evil series too. I just don't like think of it as kind of. I mean, I know it's a kind of a horror game, but I think of it more of like an adventure game. I guess it's never really scared me, other than those QuickTime events in the later versions.
See, if you played the first Resident Evil, you wouldn't have been scared either. The pre-director's cut version, Jill sandwiches and all that nonsense. It's.
Yeah, kind of interesting, those series and all the different things that they do about them. So Vincent, tell me, let's talk about games that are horror games that we do look forward to, and then let's talk about something else, about regular games that throw in horror elements or a horror level. So one of the most famous ones I can talk about is like Thief, you know, Deadly Shadows, where it was, you know, it's kind of an atmospheric game, but then there was like this level in there that took place at the orphanage that was just absolutely terrifying, and it was only one level, and it was strange. But as far as pure horror games, Vincent, are there any series that you look forward to as far as you know, you know you're going to get a good scare when you start playing them?
Whatever they're going to come up with from that PT teaser they released, I guess it's supposed to be for the new Silent Hill game. I don't know if you've tried that yet or not, but you need to download PT if you haven't. It is ridiculous.
No, I haven't.
You spend the entire game in this one small hallway, and it's probably the freakiest thing I've seen in a very long period of time. Doors will swing open, doors will shut. There is a crying fetus in a sink.
What?
Lights will change, eyeballs appear in all of the paintings. Some of the paintings will disappear, reappear. It's really great, and if you liked 3, this will bring back a lot of memories of 3. Just, you can't stab any of the enemies because nothing there is going to kill you yet because it's a teaser.
Oh, wow. So it's kind of like it's kind of a playable teaser, basically?
Pretty much. It'll only keep you busy for maybe, I'd say, 30, 45 minutes. But you will Groundhog Day the heck out of this 1 minute on the clock.
Oh my gosh! Okay, and it's Silent Hill PT. All right, I'll give that a try. Great tip. I'm doing that as soon as we stop the show. I'm all set. Billy, what about you? Are there any series that you like? Oh, this is gonna scare me.
I don't know. Not lately. I mean. If there was a series lately that I'd say, I don't know if I'd say it scares me, but it definitely keeps me on edge, it would be the Last Door series that I've been reviewing, where it's all like the minimalistic view and it's very Lovecraftian, where there's obviously like something bigger and almost, I mean, evil around, but you can't really do anything about it. You're just kind of there trying to solve a mystery, and it's got a lot of atmosphere to it, and it definitely keeps me on edge when I'm playing, despite the fact that I'm like 5 games in and I've never died, because I don't think you can. I mean, I really don't think there's not really like anything like a traditional enemy or anything. I don't think you can actually die in those games, but I'm always on edge anyway, just because of the atmosphere.
Yeah, the I mean, the, and those type of games, I mean, the most interesting thing about that series, I mean, as far as it being a horror game, is that it's, I mean, the graphics are like Atari 2600 level graphics. I mean, I see the screenshots on your reviews, and, you know, it's, you know, a little square guy, you know, walking around and stuff, and you know, and I'm like, that's, it's really interesting that with the visual presentation like that it can still present a really spooky atmosphere. That's really cool. I mean, that's kind of like the games used to do. You know, we used to not have ultra realistic graphics. You know, they used to have to give us the horror with the atmosphere in the game. And I don't know, more or less, that's kind of almost a lost art these days, that we don't really kind of get that as much, at least in my opinion. I don't know what you think, Billy, but I mean, that's kind of what I've been seeing.
Yeah, no, I think you're definitely right about that. It's a lot harder for developers to build these strong atmospheres, you know, these atmospheres that'll really, like, you know, scare you. And I think Vincent had a point with the PT teaser, because I watched people play through that, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, that was just kind of crazy.
Wow, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm definitely gonna, I just want to be doing that right now. See what the heck that's all about. That's pretty cool. So, and within the Silent Hill series, how odd.
And it's oh, all right. Kojima is the one that's directing it, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, that's weird. You know, you usually stick to, like, your Metal Gear Solids and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely these days.
I think it's also supposed to star Norman Reedus, the guy Daryl from Walking Dead. So not to deflate that for you or anything, but that it might wind up being pretty awkward.
Oh, I don't know. I like Walking Dead, and I like Daryl. I don't know. You're intriguing me more and more.
I'm trying to think the other guy behind it. He's the guy that did the Del Toro. Is that who it is? He did, like, the Hellboy movies and Pacific Rim. I think he's working on it as well, if I remember right.
Oh, well, I really love his stuff. I mean, I really liked his Labyrinth movie. That was really cool. And I like his style and stuff. I was actually excited when he had taken on the Hobbit movies for, like, I don't know, a month or something like that before he left. And I was like, oh, I was really hoping he was going to stick with it. I like his style and stuff. It's kind of cool. And he's a real atmospheric kind of guy. So I can definitely see him in there. A couple of years ago, one of the things that was popular was the Japanese influence, especially on the horror genre, was really strong. And Shella brought this up in her column with one of the scary things that she mentioned was Fatal Frame. That was an interesting game that I played, where your only weapon was a camera, you know, and so you're running around, and when you saw a ghost, you had to take like 100 photographs of it, you know, like more hair, snap. Cause that was the only way to stop the ghosts. But then, also the Fear series kind of had that sort of Japanese influence as well. So Billy, I don't know which one, I don't know your guys' experiences with games like that, but I know you guys look at cultural influences on games sometimes. I mean, do you think that is the Japanese influence on horror games, is that something that you guys see in games still today, and is that a good thing? I mean, do Japanese and American developers do horror differently? Billy, I'll let you field that one, at least at first.
Okay. Well, with my experiences, at least this is kind of the way I've seen it. When you have American horror always, to me, was never that interesting, because it always seemed to be a lot more about gore and blood, mm-hmm. and that's supposed to scare people. And I never understood it. I never really cared about it. I didn't enjoy watching it, because it wasn't scary, and it was just kind of like, I don't know, I didn't get it. But, I don't know, the Japanese have always had a better grasp on, you know, keeping you on the edge of your seat and, you know, being more a thriller, keeping you guessing, you know, what's going to happen, a glimpse here, a glimpse there. And I'm not saying there aren't, you know, American directors or, you know, media creators that haven't done this, but I see it a lot more from Japan. I know, well, to be fair, you know, with our games especially, a lot of our games still come from Japan to this day, so of course they still have an influence. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah, I read a thing, it was kind of a I don't know, a thesis paper on horror and so forth, and they were talking about the different types of horror. And the interesting thing was that they were talking about the build-up is actually a lot scarier than as soon as the monster actually jumps out of the cabinet at you, you kind of get that relief that, like, okay, I've seen the scariest thing that could possibly happen, and you're kind of not scared anymore. It's more so. I guess what I'm saying is, whatever you're crafting in your mind could possibly happen is always going to be 1,000 times worse than what actually could happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So games that are able to capture that, I guess, are kind of interesting. Vincent, would you agree with that, or do you have a different take on things as far as the cultural influences and the different types of things? I mean, what actually scares you in games?
That sounds about right. It's like the difference between, I guess, Silent Hill, Fatal Frame, and like Outlast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Outlast is a decent one. You know, and then there are games, there are also games that have kind of horror elements in them that aren't really horror, like for example, a zombie type game, you know, where you're, you know, with survivors and you're trying to survive. You know, it's like at some point the zombies almost just sort of become a strategic element that you have to sort of, you know, work around and so forth, as opposed to being actual horror elements that you're kind of scared of. I mean, you're not going to walk up to them and, you know, offer them a soda or anything, but at the same time, when there's, you know, there's 1,000 of them running around the town, and you know, you've got to find that abandoned refrigerator that's still got some sandwiches in it or something. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, manipulating them and getting around them and getting to your object.
It's kind of like The Walking Dead.
The one thing like The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead is a great series. And Billy, I know you've looked at them, you know, the video game side. And I know you like the first season better than the second season and so forth. But I mean, looking at the game as a whole, I never really approached Walking Dead as a horror game, oddly enough. Did you? Or I mean, I kind of saw it more of an adventure game.
When I started out with it, I saw it as more of a horror game. And yeah, it's definitely become more of a drama, it's a soap opera in the form of a video game, honestly. But what gets me about those games is that I'm actually not scared of the zombies at all. I'm scared of the other survivors and what they're planning, because that's where all of, like, the tension and you don't know who's going to do what kind of comes from.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely an element to the series. I know in the TV series, they play that up a lot. Every time they meet a new person, you know, on the road or whatever, they're always like, okay, is this guy saying he's a good guy, but is he really, you know? Or you meet a new group of survivors and they always turn out to be cannibals or just, you know, weird ass people. You know, the zombies, you know what you're going to get, you know, they're going to shamble towards you and they're going to try to kill you. You know, in their own way, you always know, but with people, you never know, you know, they could smile and then stab you in the back, and most of them try to. So, interesting that brings it up. One of the things I wanted to talk about was, what about games that aren't horror games that end up having horror elements? Have there been any games, and Vincent, I guess this is back to you, have there been any games that you were playing that, you know, suddenly there was a surprise horror element that you were actually, you know, were kind of admiring and thought that, wow, this is really cool and, you know, certainly unexpected part of it?
Not anything I've played recently. I've been playing Smash Brothers and Bayonetta 2, man. If there's a jump scare in Smash Brothers, there's a problem.
That's true. What about you, William? You look at more kind of stuff that's kind of might fall into that type of category.
Recently, not recently. The most recent thing I can think of that really gave me like a jump scare like that was probably Arkham City, and that was just because I have a huge fear of sharks. And there's that whole part where you're walking over the ice. Yeah, I was playing that, and the shark jumped up, and Aaliyah was there, and I think she probably laughed at me for a good 5 minutes, because when the shark jumped up onto the piece of ice with me, I legitimately threw my Xbox controller on the ground and, like, jumped backwards. And immediately was like, crap, I didn't pause the game when I did that, and rushed back forward and tried to get the controller before I got killed, and that was, like, the last jump scare I can think of that's really gotten me.
That's hilarious, an ice shark.
And you punch it right in the face. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, you do.
Like, you're a shark. I'm Batman. Pop.
Didn't have any shark repellent.
Shark repellent bat spray.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I don't know. I've run into a few games that are like that. I mean, even like Fallout, like New Vegas or something like that, or something like the Oblivion and Skyrim. You know, obviously those aren't horror games, but they have built, you know, dungeons and missions and things that have horror elements in them. You know, then it's, and I think that's kind of cool to see, because again, it's kind of like, I think if you're not expecting it, if you're not expecting to find something like that, I think that, I don't know, for me it's a bit of a treat. I guess some players who just can't do horror, it really must terrify them. You know, suddenly, you know, it's, you know, they're not picking wildflowers and trying to put their potion together. You know, they're in some necromancer's prison, you know, or something. You know, I assume that might really affect them, which maybe why it's not done all that much. But I like to find a little horror surprise in games. I guess you guys are right; it's not done too much anymore. So let me ask you this: we're getting towards the end of our time. In a classic sense, is there what games do you guys think of? I guess let me just ask, you know, what games have scared you the most? I mean, you know, over your gaming lifestyle, when somebody says, hey, you know, I mean, obviously the shark thing recently scared you, but I assume that wasn't, you know, the whole game. You don't think Arkham City was terrifying. Although the Arkham games are class. I was just playing because I got the Arkham game. The original Arkham Asylum for free as part of the PlayStation thing, PlayStation Plus this month on my PS3. It's the first time I played it. And wow, what a well-crafted series that is, just with plot and atmosphere and everything. Just really well. But, you know, not a horror game. So let me ask you guys, what games have scared you? You know, what games when you think of horror, what games, and they don't have to be horror games, they could just be, you know, elements within games. And Vincent, I'll let you start. You know, what's on your top five of, you know, games that you think are some of the scariest ones that you've played?
It'd probably wind up being a Silent Hill game, because I've been trying to think of something in Resident Evil that really did anything, and, I didn't even get to play the director's cut version of Resident Evil 1, so all I think of is the ridiculous voice acting and the spiders that looked like they didn't even look like spiders. I have a huge fear of spiders. You throw a spider in front of me and I'm going to start, you know, freaking out, and they didn't even do anything. I wasn't even aware they were spiders until years later when Resident Evil 2 came out, and they kind of looked like spiders then.
What did you think they were?
Just like a locust on the wall, something like that. They were too long. It didn't make any sense. You'd have to look up pictures of Resident Evil, like pre-director's cut. It made no sense at all. But really, I don't know. It probably just wind up being Silent Hill, and the only recent one would probably wind up being PT, because even though you can't really die, you still, adrenaline starts pumping. You start feeling a little bit warmer in the room. It's very, very interesting and intense, and honestly, I never use a bathroom in a strange house ever again.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, spiders do it for me too, Vince. I mean, I'm terrified of spiders. I mean, to the point where, like, in Skyrim, like, you know, when, cause there were no spiders that I remember in Oblivion at all. There were always levels where I was like, oh, there's some, sort of a little bit of webbing, and I'm like, oh, they're gonna put a giant spider in here and it's gonna terrify the freaking hell out of me. And they never did. And then, in Skyrim, oh my god, they have those giant freaking frost spiders. Give me the creeps just thinking about it. So yeah, I can definitely see spiders.
I had
spiders,
to replace
so
those with bears. I had to mod it to replace them with bears.
Oh my gosh, really?
I couldn't play it without doing that.
So in your game, you run up into a bunch of cobwebs and stuff, and then bears attack you.
And then bears fall from the ceiling, run at you, and the bears drop webbing.
Oh my gosh, I love that you can mod it. I don't know. I'm terrified of spiders, but I will leave them in just because, you know, I don't know. I like to be scared, but god, those are gross, disgusting looking spiders. Ugh. All right, now I'm totally on edge. Billy, why don't you go? Why try to think of something other than spiders?
All right, so we're just saying, I don't know, a game game, I guess.
It can be anywhere. You know, you can talk about how you the red dragon scared you on adventure on the 2600.
I think I'm gonna have to throw it out to Eternal Darkness, because Eternal Darkness was wonderful game. I mean, it had the sanity system where your character you'd be running around, and the more you interacted with monsters, kind of like the more sanity went up. Not even monsters, just things in general. And the more your sanity bar was filled, the more crazy things would happen occasionally. Like, you know, you'd walk down a hall and a bus, like, it would turn its head towards you and kind of just watch you walk by. And it would do like all these weird things. It even did things just to mess with you as the player. Like, I remember it faked a crash on me one time and my screen just went blue and I'm like, wait, whoa, hold on. No, I haven't saved. Don't do this to me. And then it comes back and it's like, you know, oh, okay, no, never mind. It was just us screwing with you. And that game did it really well. And I think part of that's because it had a lot of influence from H.P. Lovecraft with the whole idea of like elder gods and beings and stuff like that, that don't really care about people. We're there. And they'll use us, you know, to their benefits if they need to, but we're not important to them. And I think that was like a big thing it did that I really liked.
Yeah, that's very Lovecraftian, the whole sanity system. I mean, in the Lovecraftian role-playing game, you rarely have characters actually die, and, you know, player characters actually die in the game. It happens, especially if they're doing something stupid. I mean, if you walk up and tap Cthulhu on the toe, yeah, he's gonna shift slightly and kill you. But most part, you end up, they go crazy instead of dying. I mean, you see too much. So that game really tapped into that, huh?
Oh yeah, it did it wonderfully. It's one of those things where it came out and it was so freaking good, and it was weird because it was, you know, it was on the GameCube, and that really wasn't what you were expecting from a GameCube title. And then it was even weirder because the group that made it for Nintendo was pretty much like I don't know, they wouldn't be like first party, obviously, but them and Nintendo were, you know, really close-knit to each other, and it was just weird to see Nintendo put so much support behind this M-rated game, which, you know, Nintendo and M-rated never really go together.
No, not at all. Did they ever, has there ever been any discussions of like a sequel or anything to that game?
You know what? There was.
That sounds like a neat element, you know?
There was discussions of it, but nothing ever came of it, and basically, it was a couple years ago, a bunch of the guys that made the game tried to kickstart a spiritual successor to it, and they tried to kickstart a couple different times, and Aaliyah backed to it because she loved Eternal Darkness, and it failed both times and never took off, and I don't know. I don't know if there'll ever be a sequel. I think Nintendo still holds the IP. I think they still have, you know, copyrights and all that stuff for another game, but no idea if it's ever going to happen.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of, you know, where the developers have, you know, they come back and, you know, nothing's happening with the IP, and they do a Kickstarter and try to get things going again, and a lot of times they're successful. So, you know, who knows? Maybe that happen. So I assume the Kickstarter that Aaliyah was backing didn't happen or didn't get funded.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a Kickstarter per se. It was on another website, but, you know, same basic concept. And they couldn't raise enough money, so they had to give everyone their money back. And then, like, the very next week, they did another right, crowdfunding type event, and then they still didn't get the money, so they gave people money back, and
that's too bad. Yeah. I'd like to see that one. Well, maybe they'll try again. I mean, the crowdfunding thing has really come into its own lately. I mean, you've got a good project like that. I mean, I can't imagine it wouldn't be successful unless you're asking for like $20 million or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like Shovel Knight was a Kickstarted game, and that's an amazingly well-crafted game. I mean...
Oh yeah, I mean, so are some of the ones I play, like the Shadowrun games. I mean, those were kickstarted. I mean, you know, they can do really well these days. So who knows? Maybe we'll see it. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. Tomorrow is Halloween. Planning on doing any spooky gaming on Halloween? Or are you going to do the traditional thing? Or are you going to close the doors and hope that no spiders come and ring your doorbell? Or what are you guys doing for the holiday, Vincent?
I'm probably just going to spend my time, I guess, drinking and talking with my wife. That's all it's going to wind up being. I have a huge bottle of Absolut in the fridge, and that's all I'm going to wind up doing with my Halloween.
All right, well, don't drink so much that you see spiders. What about you, Billy?
I'm actually, after I finish this podcast, me and Aaliyah are going to head over, and a bunch of her family's getting together, and we're going to have a scary movie night tonight, so that's going to be fun.
Oh, that rocks, man. That's awesome.
It's like a yearly tradition thing that they always do, so yeah.
Do you guys do like, are you, do you like generic scary? Like, are we talking like Friday the 13th?
No, we never do like generic scary. It's usually just a bunch of people bringing over movies they might have bought within the last year or some things that people haven't seen. We always bring, we have, The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. I think that's a wonderful movie whenever it comes to like horror, not necessarily like flat out scares, but the atmosphere and suspense that it brings. And unfortunately, we brought that last year, and nobody really seemed to think it was all that good, and it was kind of disappointing.
Oh, no, the original was great.
I know, the sequels weren't
too good. Well, we still appreciate them, Billy. We'll have a party. You can bring it, and we'll definitely appreciate it with you. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, thanks a lot to all our listeners out there. You know, guys, have a safe and happy Halloween. You know, get some good gaming in. You can join us. Our email address is ginlounge@gameindustry.com. You can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/gameindustry. We're also on Twitter at ginlounge. We're at Google Plus, also under Game Industry. Let's see, Pinterest, I believe, and some YouTube stuff. So check us out. I am going to go check out this PT thing that everybody's talking about. So if I survive that, I'll see you all next time right here at GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. Take care, everyone, and happy Halloween.